Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabe Morenci, and I'm on the grid, and so is the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. So is Cousin Sal. So is Joey Odessa. Let's do this thing. It's football and fighting Friday. We have a lot of stuff to break down, including a football game that's kicking off right now. Now. What's going on, Cam?
What's happening, Gabe? Yeah, I got this game. I already bet it. Took the mean green. I know they let us down the last time they played Louisiana Tech, but I'm laying the points. Got it a little bit earlier than it went up to 10.5 on FanDuel. Got a 9.5 there. I'm laying it down with these guys, and later on I have it attached to a couple other games later tonight, too. We got the Battle of Arizona, and our friends from San Jose State battling Nevada. Should be a fun night.
Well, you know, this is really too bad, Cam, because last night you and I were on the same page, and we could not have nailed it any better than we did. We both predicted that the Rams would beat them down. We both predicted that the Patriots' offense would do nothing. And in fact, correct, if you recall, I predicted it would be 17-3 at the half. It was 17-3 at the half. And, you know, I said 31-3. We got 24-3. You said 31-9. Hey, 24-3 is close enough. But yep, with all that being stated, you surprised me here, Ken. You surprised me on this one. And yeah, I hate to do this. I hate to do this, but I'm going mining. Where are my goggles? I'm going mining. I'm going underground.
I almost went underground, but I'll tell you, I don't know, man. Hey, this game's a dog's breakfast. We can call it out for whatever it is. Yeah. North Texas is let's just be honest with the people there. If you're betting this game, you're as much of a degenerate as me and Gabe. North Texas has a horrible defense, but a much better offense, and UTEP is a bad club as well. It's a rivalry game, sure. You know, I'm surprised the line went up to 10.5, actually. But I also have it in teasers. You know, Gabe, I'm going to be honest with you. I have more to talk about at the top of the hour with the game that I'm going to be watching with Arizona and Arizona State, but I'm on this game too, and I wish we were on the same side. But I do have teasers 7-pointers and 10-pointers. So it doesn't matter to me. As long as these guys win, if the Mean Green win the game, I'll be doing okay heading into the final second and third leg of my parlays.
Well, Cam, you say that UTEP and North Texas is the rivalry game. Well, I guess if like Maroon 5 and Matchbox 20 are a rivalry between who's the better band. You know what I mean?
I don't know. The Mean Green?
That's actually not fair to Matchbox 20 to put them in the same category with Maroon 5. I've got no beef with Rob Thomas. UTEP and North Texas. You know what, Cam? I'm taking the 10.5. You get the in-game number as it says kicking off. 10.5, 66.5. I'm going with the UTEP Miners, and I'm going with the over. As you stated, like this is like betting on a high school football game. This is like betting on the Kentucky High School League that we used to bet on, right? Like, I'm kind of throwing darts here. It's true. Me and Cam used to bet some Kentucky High School football in the old days. Well, we'll get into it too much right now.
No, we won't. interesting. That's the end of the story. Good story, Gabe.
It's hard to find information on that league. All right.
Yes, it was.
That's when you know you've hit a new low when you're searching online. What's going on with that St. John's High School in Lexington, anyways, this week? You're typing up.
Exactly.
My policy is if it's on TV, it's legitimate. It's okay to bet it. It's okay to bet it.
I agree.
All right, shout out to all of our radio affiliates. It's Game Time Decision. I am Gabriel Morenci. It's Football Friday, high school football Friday as well. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because we bet on everything. You know, we bet on college sports. We bet on pro sports. And, you know, there's always that sort of, when you talk about betting on high school sports, it's like, it's sort of that. Don't go down that road. But the thing is, Kev, if you're going to put high school sports on ESPN, what's the difference? Like, I don't know. And another thing is, too, when people say, oh, they're just kids, does anybody bat an eyelash when there's a 15-year-old girl from Russia that's playing tennis? Kev, do we say, oh, no, you can't bet on that match? Well, she's only 15. No. She's in the U.S. Open. The match is bet on, right? So, like, this stuff, like, the same thing. Like, people bet on all kinds of sports, Cam, where people are under 18 playing, athletes. Cam, the kid that scored the winning goal for Kansas City in the MLS was 17. Or the Pepe kid. He's 17.
Pepe. Great name. Hey, Pepe. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. That's the problem with these people. Yeah, you know what I mean? You are. We're realists. Other people are hypocrites. We're not going to deny what we're doing. I have no problem with it. People bet on the Little League World Series. Do I care? No. It's something you can bet on. I don't care. You post a number, I agree with you. I couldn't care less. Hey, you want to have fun? You want to have entertainment? It's your business. Do whatever the hell you want to do. I bet on other fathers. I told you, my cousin was a good basketball player, and I used to bet other parents and stuff like that when I go to watch his games. I don't care. These guys want to bet me. You make a line, let's go. I don't care. Let's go. Let's do this.
I thought one of my all-time classic rants in the 18 years I've been doing these shows years ago when I melted down live on the air during the Little League World Series when the kid on Arizona booted a ball at third base. I was like, for the love of God, you've got to keep the ball in front of you. And then I was like, you little dumb punk. And you know, people are like, dude, it's a Little League World Series game. I'm like, you got to make that play. You got to make that play.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I cannot contain my excitement. It's Football Friday. We actually have a really cool UFC card, too, Football and Fighting Friday. Don't forget, we have the MLS Cup on Saturday night, championship match. We'll get into Cam's corner kicks a little bit later on. But our old friend and colleague, Camera 2 Drew, was very excited about the new Mighty Ducks movie that's been released, Cam. And I got a confession to make. I usually call people out for not knowing, like, pop culture. I'm like, how the hell do you not know, like, who Led Zeppelin is? Or, like, stuff like that. But I'll be honest with you, I have never seen the Mighty Ducks movie. Wow. Never seen the Mighty Ducks movie or any of them. I guess there's a bunch of them probably over the years. But, yeah, I know of it. I get the gist of it, a bunch of kids, misfit kids or whatever. But, I've never seen the Mighty Ducks movie. But I will say the trailer looks pretty good, actually. And anytime hockey gets, like, publicity, Cam, it's a good thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, movie, it's not going to be a blockbuster or whatever, but it'll be popular. It's a good holiday type of movie. And it looks like it's a little bit more edgier. It's 2020. The jokes, you know, a little edgier, not just for kids. Looks like, you know, everybody can get a laugh. Look, I laughed at the trailer. There were a couple of the jokes that I laughed at even in the trailer. And, you know, I was thinking it's good for the sport of hockey because, Kev, let you know, millions of people will see the movie, right? Like, literally, even if it's not a smash, like, still, tens of millions of people see these movies. So millions of people will see this movie. Out of the millions of people that see the movie, Cam, it's going to be a couple of thousand kids that say, you know what? I never really knew anything about hockey before, but I want to play hockey now.
Exactly.
I'm not talking about creating, Austin Matthews and mooning people and making $100 million. I'm talking about just the sport of hockey itself. It gets kids playing, and it keeps people. Hockey does not do it. Look, the NHL does a terrible job marketing themselves. Like, the Mighty Ducks, like Disney, does a better job marketing the league than they do.
It's true. And another thing is, like, and I've noticed even in the areas and when you were living, look what happened when the Raptors came out. All those kids that were playing. Sorry, living. You're living here. Okay, living. I'm just saying, when the Raptors got popular with all that stuff, all those kids, like, you remember Streetcar Game On? They all, like, in the neighborhood, hoops. Like, you saw way more kids playing hoops and stuff like that. So I would agree. And if you take a look at some of the kids, if you look at stars in hockey now, even you're right, who cares about, like, being the next star? It's just getting nice to see kids participating. But a lot of them coming from different places, Texas, Arizona, California. Those are hotbeds and stuff. Now, remember the University of Huntsville, Alabama had an NCAA-ranked hockey team. So all these people in Canada, kids, just a Canadian. No. You got to relax, people. It's a global game here. You don't own it.
I think they should make a movie about you and me. And what it'll be is you and me, we go back to college. We go back to college.
Like Rodney Dangerfield, yes. Back to school.
We live like on campus. We party it up and everything. We're the old dudes. And I still have some NCAA eligibility left, Cam. You and I should play for the UNLV Skating Rebels.
I would love that. Honestly, that would be so awesome.
That's what I'm saying, Cam. It's come so far. UNLV has an ice hockey team now.
Like, oh, I know. And they're not even that bad.
That's the thing. We're kidding. Like, me and Cam, we're good hockey. We'll go and be on UNLV. No, we won't. UNLV hockey stacked with badass kids from California, Arizona, Canadian kids. they weren't good enough to play junior hockey in Canada. Like,
exactly.
There ain't no easy spot anywhere. When I played, guys, this is in the 80s, and I wasn't great, so I wasn't NHL caliber, but I was pretty good. But I had other interests, like a lot of teenagers did. Like, I was a little juvenile delinquent criminal, and I was in a metal band and whatever, right? So I started to get other interests. But even after all that, I got offered to play NCAA hockey, right? But at the time, Cam, NCAA hockey was frowned upon. There was no one. That's exactly why it was such a big deal, the Miracle on Ice in 1980 that they won. Like, before, it was like, you know, you played NCAA hockey if you were a loser and you couldn't play anywhere, essentially. It was like, yeah, you're not good enough to play in the Q or the O, so, you know, you can, yeah, can go to Vermont and have fun, kid, for a couple of years. And it that changed. Was what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the Vermont. I wanted to be on the Vermont Catamounts. Paul Kariya was the big changer out of main camp. That's when people were like, damn, man, some of these college guys are pretty damn good. But I was going to say, even then, Cam, and dude, I'm not sitting here, oh, I was great. But even me, dude, I got an offer to go play in England. All right. It was $18,000 a year. $18,000 a year, free room and board. It was like third tier pro league in England at the time. Okay.
Yep.
Type of deal. And I'm saying, dude, and I got that and I could have taken it at the time as a kid. Now, Cam, I couldn't be the water boy for that team, I bet. The level of hockey, like, dudes, like, you know, you played at high levels. You know, there's guys, man, you know how good people are in these, like, tier two Czech leagues and in Finland. Yeah. And it used to be, like, for Canadian guys, you know, you can always go to Germany and play in the German league, make a couple hundred K a year and have a fun time, marry a German chick. No. You go there now, man. You got some kid that scored 70 goals in the Ontario Hockey League on that team.
Yeah,
like, there's no team in the world to make it a hockey camp. That's my point.
I agree.
Now.
Yeah,
my point is everywhere.
Exactly. If we went to UNLV, the only thing we'd be doing is getting those kids beer. We'd be the old guys, the underage guys. Hey, guys, we got you. See a couple flats. See you at the party.
You'd be like, oh, my God. I'd be ducking pucks. Here, God, hey, a little lighter. Hey, guys, come on.
Like, exactly. Like, no, I had a buddy who played in Dusseldorf.
These kids.
It's back then.
Yeah,
no, they're so much better athletes than we are now. Like, I remember even playing, like, when I played AAA, our goaltender was, like, cooking hash and, like, you know, he's outside the bat. He's doing bots and stuff. Like, this is a big game. You think these kids are doing that now? They're riding the motorcycle and stuff like that. Guys are out having smokes like Guy Lafleur in between periods. What? Well, okay, yeah, we're ready, coach. Ready to go. Like, it was a different time back then. Like, nobody did, like, exercise bikes and whatever. Like, we showed up after parties and played and stuff. We were wasted, hungover. Yeah, you said it, Morenci. I will say this, too. These athletes are better. The kids are quicker. Like, I watch those old hockey games on TV, and people are like, oh, yeah, different. They could have. Sorry. I know the equipment's better, but the athlete's better, too. Hate to say it. And, I agree with everything you're saying right now. They're like, they're fat. Know what it is? I think the old guys were tougher, but they couldn't catch these kids now. They're too fast. Too fast. That's the problem. Yeah, speed kills.
Yeah, the conditioning and just everything, the speed of sport. Some sports you can compare past generations to. Right? Like baseball, I think, is the one. You can drop today's baseball players and, let's see you bat against Sandy Koufax, bro. Like, Ken, a 97-mile-an-hour fastball is a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. It was in 53. It was in 2003. It is now. You know what I'm saying? Like, the guys are bigger and the ball goes further when they hit it and stuff. But I think, you know, baseball, basketball as well. Like, basketball – You could take guys from another era and they would match up and it would be interesting. There's sort of different rules, but I've said it before. I've told the story a lot of times, and I know you know him well, Mike Bossy. So you know, Mike Bossy, of course, one of the greatest hockey players ever. Maybe the best, one of the best
natural goal scorers.
Not a stretch to say he's the best goal scorer in NHL history.
One of, right? Definitely.
Like he's a Ken. The guy scored like his career average per point per game. But I tell you what, Mike Bossy makes me look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in real life.
I know.
No, like you meet the guy, you're like, this guy didn't play in the end. This guy scored 780 goals or whatever, 600 goals in 400 games. You're like, no, he didn't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you meet him, right? He looks like Skeletor. He's like, he's having a smoke, like he said.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He's like, hey, how you doing, Cam? Picking a glass of wine. So you got that order of Humpty Dumpty chips, Mike? Yeah, yeah, we got that at your store. Like the guy was a chip salesman and a steak owner, like whatever. But, and he said, and they, the New York Islanders won four cups in a row. And he told me, he said, Gabe, the worst team in the NHL right now would sweep us and kill us. He said, we wouldn't get through the game. And he even he said, he goes, Gabe, I played at 178 pounds. That's what he told me. He goes, I was 178 pounds, Gabe.
What's he now? What?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Oh, Cammy. 7-0 Miners.
Yeah. I'll tell you, if the Mean Green don't come back and win this game, they might have to be on the banned list.
Well, the season's over.
You're right. This is their last game. I guess we can become friends next season. I got to be honest with you. I really don't – like, today was just like a fun day. I'm not going too hard. Having a little bit of fun. We cleaned up with the Rams last night, and I got to be honest with you, going into the weekend, there's going to be some games that we hit hard, and I can't lie to you, Gabe, this game was a train wreck. I should have just, when in doubt, take the dog, and I don't know why I took the favorite. I thought these guys would be ready to go. It's early, but not a good start for these guys. Like, the Mean Green, they stink.
What about the next football game coming up here at 7 o'clock Eastern time, the Territorial Cup? They haven't changed your name. That's not offending anybody. Well, you can't say territory. Territory is offensive. The territory has not been changed yet, fortunately. Arizona State and Arizona. And it's one of these you hear the Territorial Cup and you're like, yeah, whatever, man. But this is actually a pretty nasty game. Really don't like each other for real. Like, you figure, nah, whatever. Like, every it's the rivalry game. But you know it, Cam. These guys, like, it is real. Like, it's real. Like, this game is spirited. Oh, they don't like each other. They've been playing this game since 1899.
No, it's true. You talked to Gamble on Wednesday. My buddy lives in Arizona now, and he told me that. He goes, listen, like, Tucson and Tempe, there's hate there. Like, Arizona State hates Arizona. Arizona hates Arizona State. Same thing. Like, it's real. Like, you talked about it. It's like, it's not like those rivalries, you wouldn't think about it, but it's actually more heated and mean than a lot of them out there. Like, you hear about it, like, these, you just talked about it back in the day, Gabe, how many times we've had like crazy things happen in this game, missed kicks, fights. Oh yeah, these guys have thrown down before. Like, I'm telling you, we've watched this game every year. There have been fights, all sorts of crazy stuff happens. It's never just a clean, nice game. I'm going to take the points with Arizona. I just think it's too many. I don't know that line is going down, though. It's 8.5 now. It used to be 10.5 there. So I'm already in on Arizona. I don't know what you're doing with this game, but I'm going to take the Wildcats.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what. They've been playing this game for so long. They've been playing it before Arizona was a state. Think about that.
That is
pretty crazy.
That is crazy. It's like, what?
Yeah, it predates Arizona.
Where's the rivalry without the state?
Well, the schools.
Yes.
The schools were there. Arizona was there, Cam, but they weren't in the union. Yeah. Like, that's
good point.
How long they've been playing this game. Like, when you've been playing a rivalry, when you can go, yeah, 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 we started this rivalry 13 years before the state of Arizona even existed.
That's craziness, man. That's nuts. I don't know what to do. What do you think about this game? I think Arizona State's the better team, but...
Arizona State have played two games this year only. All right? And it's hard to judge them. They blew the lead against USC in the first week, and then they played a pretty UCLA pretty good this year. So it's hard to really get a judge on them here. Arizona have been a train wreck, but as you mentioned, Cam, this really is. It's that cliche that you throw out the records. Mm-hmm. Like, it really is one of these football games and rivalries that does come down to the wire. And I actually agree with the line movement, Cam. I'm not surprised money is coming in on the home team, but it is a leap of faith, guys. It is a leap of faith. If you look at Arizona, they lost 34-30 to USC. Then they went to Washington. They were up early in that game. Then they lost 44-27. They go to LA. They lose 27-10. And then last week, Colorado beats them 24-13. But I think Colorado are better than people give them credit for as well.
I agree with that.
I think this game comes down to the wire, Cam. If you look at Herm Edwards and his game since he's been here, almost every game, win or lose, Cam. Like, every game Herm Edwards is in is decided by 7 points or less. It's almost one of these things. Just take the dog here. Sumlin is 0-2 in this game as well. I don't think it's a blowout. Give me the points and give me the over. I'm in a dog mood tonight, Cam.
That's a good mood to be in, because if you bet dogs more than favorites, you're going to make more money. I wish I was on both dogs early in these games. But I will say this, too. I've been watching a lot of Arizona football. That game against Colorado, they were up in that game early. They just had a couple bad breaks in that game, too. They are not great, but this is the thing. Rivalry game, close. Arizona State, I don't think, is superior to these guys. I think if they win by a touchdown. I think it's inflated points. I'm riding the Wildcats tonight. I think they can win this game outright, to be honest with you, so I'm happy with the points. As for the total, I agree with you. I think this game goes over the number. I'm not sure about the first game because it's a lot to get to, but these games, usually with Arizona and Arizona State, lots of personal foul penalties, pass interference, bad things happen, short fields because these teams, there's going to be a lot of anger penalties, and that makes for a short field, so I think we can get to the over in this game as well.
Oh, I love the over in this game, Arizona and Arizona State. For the record, too, if you guys are wondering, it's very confusing with North Texas. Like, I'm looking at the live scores right now, and it says UNT at UTEP. And it is. It's supposed to be a UTEP home game, except they're actually playing at North Texas. So you're not wrong. If anyone's looking, you're thinking, what the hell? I thought it was, you know what I mean? Because even me, I capped the game, Cam, thinking, UTEP's at home, right?
Yep.
I knew. Well, if you sort of knew they weren't at home, but I was like, yeah, they're playing somewhere, but it's not. And then I clued in. No, this game's in North Texas. UTEP just said, whatever, we'll play at your place.
That's the thing. If the game was at UTEP and we were getting the same number, you don't think I'm going to be taking the dog in that spot? That's the thing. With these bad teams, you take the home dog in those situations. But I got to give UTEP credit. They came out. North Texas, man, they drove us nuts that night. I don't know. Am I a glutton for punishment?
What? UTEP don't suck this year. It's one of these weird deals. Like, they're winning games. They're in games.
Interesting. That program used to be. Yeah, not saying, don't say they're good, just say they're not brutal.
Well, yeah. They're 3-4 for them.
I know. That's good for them. That's exceptional.
That was big for them. It's one of the reasons. UTEP are super excited to get to 500. We're talking about a 1-0-win team game. It could be 4-4, buddy, if they win this game. It's like winning Sugar Bowl to them. Cam, they're bowl eligible.
Really? UTEP's going to be in a bowl? Holy jeez, man. This is
probably
tough
not.
Year. 2020. Probably, yeah, probably. They're bowl eligible. But, But
the problem is a lot of bowls that are canceled, Cam. Right? Like, there's guys, you know what's crazy? It shows my social life is very active, isn't it? That, I don't know, last night at about 4 in the morning, I decided to just look at the bowl schedule. But, like, I was like, what's – what, No, it's like, you know, who's playing? What balls are actually going on anyway? It's like, what's in, what's out for real? And I can tell you guys, bowl season starts next Saturday. And it's exactly what we predicted, Cam. It's all politics. And as far as, like, remember I said they're not canceling any bowl game in Texas or Alabama or anything. And they are.
Yep.
So next Saturday, the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl.
I love it. I can really go for a tropical smoothie. That's a great name. Yeah,
yeah. Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl from Toyota Stadium, Frisco, Texas. All right, so that's Saturday. Then we're off until Monday afternoon, the Myrtle Beach Bowl. Here's a new one. Beach, South Carolina, Myrtle Beach. To be determined who's going to be in the game, but that's at Monday, 2:30 Eastern. And then Tuesday at 3:30 Eastern, we've got the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Potato Bowl. Nice.
And we got the Boca Raton Bowl at FAU Stadium, which FAU are in every year. And so this is what I'm getting at here. All right, 23rd, 24th. But Cam, good news. And this is good news for all you lonely people, people that, especially actually this year, a lot of people won't be traveling to see their families, degenerate gamblers. True. We've been there, Cam. And, you know, we have positive memories and dark memories of the Christmas Eve Hawaii bowls over the years, the old Saturday night or the old Christmas Hawaii. It was Christmas night. It was Christmas Eve, etc. Then the NBA sort of took over. But get this, Cam, and everybody, we've got football, guys. We've got football. Christmas Eve, 3:30, the New Mexico Bowl from Frisco, Texas.
Awesome.
Poor New Mexico. Everything's just moved to Texas. Christmas Day, college football, the Camellia Bowl.
What time?
Christmas Day, 30 Eastern. I would have liked it to be a little later.
That's a big mistake. Guys, these college guys, they got to have a meeting and invite us. The NBA's on, guys. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, you got to get these things. Either do it early, get it out of the way, or late. That's what you do.
It's the Camellia Bowl, bro. Like, it's Christmas dinner.
We watch it.
Go ahead.
I know, but people will be watching it. Not everybody. You said it, man. What about that guy with the Swanson dinner at home? You know, you got to remember him. He's just sitting back going, I waited all week for the Camellia Bowl.
Dude, I'm such a loser, DJ. And one of my favorite parts of Christmas was betting the blue-gray game.
Oh, yeah.
It was Christmas morning. And it was basically all the kids that weren't on teams that made bowl games.
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome.
Best player,
great game.
It was the best player of the teams that weren't in bowl games. The blue-gray game. And, it was fun. I loved it, man. Such a D-gen game. I like Cam's. Like, Cam's upset that the Camellia Bowl's not on later. What kind of
crap really
is this?
I'm really not that upset. Yeah, I'm not really that upset. I'm just like, those things, though, you got.
You know who's projected to play in the game? Toledo versus Marshall.
That's a game I want to watch. Yeah, who says we don't want to watch that game? You can't tell us what we like. I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
Toledo Marshall, I'm in. Let's go.
I'm in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions continues. I am Gabe Omarenzi. We're just talking about the bowl games and taking a look at some of the projected matchups. A lot of fun with that stuff. We'll get back to it. We got to get Jerry Palm on. He's my favorite guy when it comes to this stuff, bracketology and bowl projections. And Jerry Palm's got – and some of the teams have accepted the invitations, but it'll start to be announced on Monday. So bowl season starts next Saturday. Let's bring in Cousin Sal right now. And Sal, me and Cam were just talking about being lonely degenerates and how we love like the Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve and Christmas night and going back to the old days. I was such like a loser. Christmas used to be like the blue-gray game to me. I'd be like, all right, the blue-gray game. I'm taking blue minus three. Let's get it, right? What's your like holiday D-Gen memory? Is it NBA? Do you find yourself even now sometimes? You know, you're hanging with Kimmel and the family. You're like, don't talk to me. I got money on this NBA game. Or memory of a teenager during the holidays. You know, I remember my grandma. All right, you know, dinner's ready. And I didn't want to tell my grandmother, man, I got like $80 on this game as a 14-year-old. And I can't go up. What's your holiday betting memory, Sal?
Thanksgiving was always the killer because my family, I don't know how it was. Now it's easy. You know, I got TVs in every room because I'm a degenerate. But our dining room was about 40 feet away from the nearest TV. So the Cowboys would play late afternoon. And I can only pretend to sneak off to the bathroom every 8 minutes before everyone thought I had a problem. So it was Thanksgiving that did it. The Army-Navy game, by the way, is another one. I know it's in advance of the holiday season, but I always have a lot of money on that dumb game. And there's a Long Island kid playing quarterback for Navy, so I'm all over that tomorrow as well.
Well, that's amazing. You know what, Sal? So last year, for the past couple of years, we were doing the show at FanDuel, at the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of the virus and everything, you know, they shut it down and not a lot of people in there now, et cetera. But last year, Sal, it was like November. And I actually tell everybody, I had a few too many drinks, but I'm telling everyone, Army, Navy, we're going to the game. It's here at MetLife. It's going to be awesome. And I was like, you got to watch out. Don't smoke weed in the parking lot because, you know, like the head of Pentagon chief of staff is probably going to be there. Right. So I was telling everyone, like, this is a regular game. We got to keep our heads straight when we go in. I was all fired up. And Sal, it was this year. So I thought the game was last year, but they were actually was on the billboard outside. So it was actually for this year, and it sucked. It got shut down this year. So that's how excited they were about it. And they're playing it at West Point, right? But how about this, guys? The last 46 times that military academy teams have played each other, it's gone under 36 of the times.
Wow.
Like Army, Navy, Air Force, the combination. Yeah, it's 30. I'll get you the exact number. It's 36-9-1, I believe. 35-9-1. I'll get you the exact number right now. Because, they run the ball all the time, these guys.
Exactly.
Out of 37.5 this year, though, Sal, the total.
I was just going to say, it is basically because they've not been introduced to the forward pass, and I don't think they'd care about it. I love the idea of the game. It's cold, it's in the rain, it's on the East Coast, but then you watch a quarter of it, and it's like, all right, whose fullback is going to outgain the other is basically the story. But yes, you're right, and 37 is just the right number. It's really you almost always like 24-13 right in there, so... I'm taking the underdog tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? Normally in the old days, I remember we'd get like 45.5 and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right. The books are on to this. Yes, 36-9-1 since 2005.
Wow.
36-9-1 to the under in Army, Navy, Air Force games, any combination when they play each other. All right, let's get into the other team at MetLife, the New York Football Giants, getting points. Team's on a four-game win streak against a team that's 1-4 in their last five. That one win was the Hail Mary against the Bills. I'm not getting in front of Joe Judge. I don't want to get knocked out by him. Give me that point, Sal.
Can you believe we're at this point? If you would have said a month ago, Kyler Murray, who everybody was screaming about for MVP so they can look cool in front of their friends, and you know, and then the Giants, who were 0-5, and now we've gotten to a point where it's Danny Dimes. We don't even care if it's that guy who runs full speed and then falls on his face, or Colt McCoy. 3 points is 3 points. I'm taking the Giants here. I can't believe it. Wayne Goldman's got over 90 yards rushing the last two games. It doesn't even matter if it's McCoy or Jones. They could throw for 100 yards and win this game. I think as long as they shut down Nuke Hopkins and that cornerback, Brad Bradbury, for the Giants has been spectacular, they could win this game by double digits. I'm taking the Giants. I can't believe I'm saying it.
I love it, Sal. I guess we're all in agreement, too. We're taking the points. Great job, by the way, with the graphics guy last night, Sal. You left a very, very happy taste in my mouth with Morenci because we were on the Rams last night, and we liked your style last night. I don't know what you're going to do with your Cowboys this week, buddy. They're laying 3.5 against the Bungles. They could beat anybody. It's these guys, Sal. But I got to tell you, I don't like laying points with this team. What do you do with the Cowboys?
I get the idea that the Red Rifles coming back to Cincinnati and might mean more than it does on Thanksgiving or any of these other games. I don't know why I'm taking them. I think you're right. It's probably a field goal game, but I just look at the talent, the disparity, and I feel like the CD Lambs, the Amari Coopers, one of them is about to bust out. If Zeke could keep the ball from hitting the turf, I think the Cowboys are a good 7 or 8 points better than the Bengals. I'm reluctantly taking my horrible, horrible Dallas Cowboys.
I don't like betting unders in football, but I don't see where the points come from in this game. The Cowboys defense has been better than people are giving credit for. Brendan Allen's terrible. The Bengals offense is terrible. I just don't see where the points are going to come from. I think Dallas do win, and it doesn't get to 43 points. All right, we got a couple of sort of ho-hum games. Denver and Carolina. Carolina's -3. Houston and Chicago. Houston -1.5. Kansas City and Miami's a fun football game. And all, so out of those three games, Sal, will sort of go in increments here. Any of those three games interest you? And as far as I'm concerned, I was going to say, I get the, you look at the Chiefs, it's been 2 weeks in a row that their offense hasn't killed it. And that doesn't happen 3 weeks in a row. I was looking back, like the last time they got held in the 20s, the next time they put up 40-plus, and they did that for a couple of weeks in a row. It's been 2 weeks in a row, Sal. Just sort of where the offense is frustrated, and they've been playing in some bad weather. I like the over of this game. I think the Chiefs are going to go up and down the field on Sunday.
I agree.
I'm with you. I think they score five times, five touchdowns at least. I don't know what's going on. Well, like with some teams, like we'll get to probably the Steelers, who drop passes more than any other team. I think that's going to stop. I think the Chiefs are going to – their red zone woes are going to not continue, right? They're not going to kick settle for 19-yard field goals the rest of the way. They're not, it's not going to be Tyreek Hill catching a touchdown, and they say incomplete, and they don't review it. It's a dumb thing that's going on with the Chiefs. I think start all your fantasy guys on the Chiefs in the playoffs. It's a coming-out party. I think it's like 35-17. You take a look at like that zero defense blitz scheme that the Dolphins play. They employ it more than any team in the league, and Mahomes 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions against that specific defense. I like Kansas City 67% as a large favorite going on the road, so take them.
I got to tell you guys too, think about this situation, Sal and Gabe. Kansas City hasn't been playing good. They don't cover in the division. Buffalo's playing Pittsburgh, and now Pittsburgh's lost. You don't think Kansas City wants to put the boards constrictor tightness around these guys going to that game, Gabe? I think it's psychological as well, and you know me, I like dogs, but I literally think the Chiefs are probably going to win this game by like 17, 20, pound these guys and put pressure on the Steelers having to beat Buffalo. That's my take on the game. What do you do with Tampa Bay and Minnesota, Sal? I can't believe Minnesota's still in like the playoff chase. They're a horrible team. They got lucky to beat Jacksonville. But Tampa Bay under a touchdown in that game? What?
Oh, settle down.
What, you like Minnesota?
Lucky to be back.
They're horrible. Minnesota's horrible.
You didn't feel well for one day earlier in the week. You come back, you're Captain Chalk suddenly. You know what's going on? You're supposed to be the Vikings here. The Vikings.
No, I'm looking at the Vikings. I didn't say I'm betting on the Bucs. Just slow down. I don't think Minnesota's good, but it's 6.5. It feels like a bait line. That's where I was going, Morenci. Continue, Sal.
I wish you would stop fighting around the holidays. It's very disturbing. No, especially since we all agree. Like the Vikings laying 7 against Carolina or laying 9 at home against Jacksonville. It's a different story. It's a bad spot, but they're 6-3 against the number and 6-3 straight up, actually, as an underdog in this range. I like them. I don't know what Tampa did in the off week, you know, in the bye week. Brady and Antonio Brown live together. They're pillow fighting their way for 14 days. I don't know if they're going to be ready to compete with the speed of Minnesota. Justin Jefferson, one of 5 players in the history of the game to have 1,000 yards through 12 games receiving. Dalvin Cook is about 145 yards per game from scrimmage. I think it's too much offense for Minnesota, and it's a good spot, 6.5, buy him up to 7, whatever you have to do, take the underdog here.
You see Tom Brady saying that he'll never play in the Northeast again. Don't worry, Tom. Yeah, there's not teams in the North lining up to stop him, bro. I'll never. Good for you. How's it working out in Tampa, him and Arians? They're just such a hard tandem to like. You know what I mean? And
Yeah, the Arians thing, did you see what he said earlier in the week? He said home field is no advantage this year. And first of all, they certainly are playing like it's no advantage because they don't want to buy or any of that stuff. So good for you. You're not getting the home field. You're not getting home field. But what does it say to the 10,000 fans that show up to Tampa Bay every week that are allowed the big umbrella? Yeah, just stay home. Don't risk anything. Well, you're not doing us any good. What is this guy talking about?
No, it's never his fault, right? It's always the long snapper, the field goal kicker, Tom Brady, the wide receivers. But you know, no, I've been talking about the fan stuff, and I've been saying fans don't make a difference. Teams do. Like the Buffalo Bills are 5-1 at home. The Bills have a bunch of nut job, drunk people in the stadium. It's loud as hell. Would they be 6-0 at home? No. The one game they lost at home was to the Chiefs. All right, they won at home, they lost at home. Arians just always has. He's really, you know, we can get into it, but remember last year with Winston? Like, he doesn't respect his players, this guy. Remember last, can you win with someone else? Oh, of course I can win with someone else. Yeah, how are you lighting it up now with Brady? And now word is, Brady doesn't like you because you're running the same plays you called with Winston, and now you get mad at Brady and surprised he can't throw the ball down the field. You're not using Mike Evans properly, Arians. That's on you. Like, there's all kinds of stuff there that's wrong with Tampa. I like the Vikings going in there, getting the points. And how about this guy's too? Mm-hmm. Zimmer, 12-3 straight up, 10-4 against the spread against the NFC South, 6-1 as a dog. And we talk about, I've been talking about this for years. Mike Zimmer against non-division opponents, 47-24-2 against the spread in his career with Minnesota against non-division opponents. I'm taking the Vikings.
And Cam pointed out, bigger game for the Vikings. They're somehow not in the driver's seat, but they're in the sixth spot and the seventh spot playoff wise, fighting off Arizona. They need the game more than Tampa.
Yep. Hey, Gabe, I said they suck, but doesn't mean I'm not going to bet on them. Don't worry, I'll take the points with these guys this week. What about Tennessee and Jacksonville there, Sal? Does the hook matter you with the Titans laying 7.5? Jacksonville's been scrappy. I got to give these guys a lot of credit. All they do is cover.
It's weird. Like, Glennon is probably the best of the worst quarterbacks, right? If you watch him, he's going to put up numbers and he's going to scare you, and you're not going to get a blowout win against him. All that said, I think Tennessee wins this and covers it. I would be careful about teasers. Tennessee, Green Bay, Kansas City, all these teams, 7 points. Be careful about the teasers week 14. I warn against it, but I do like Tennessee in this game.
Who do you like in the Bills? We've got to be fast here, Sal. Who do you like in the Bills in the Steelers game?
Steelers, this is the biggest overreaction of the week. Steelers are 11-1 team. They'll be able to run the ball. They won't drop balls either.
Always a pleasure, Sal. Thanks, buddy.
Take care, Sal.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always fun with Sal. Time is just flying by. And if you're wondering, where's Joey? Where's Joey? Like, if we got cousin Sal, then we got Uncle Joey. Where's Uncle Joey, Dad? Uncle Joey's a little late, but he'll be here later. Shut up. No, we scheduled Joey. Remember last week? We always rush Joey. Joey's like a fighter that he needs a round to get going. Joey always sort of starts off, hey, guys. And then, you know, after about 5 minutes, he's cracking jokes. And we're like, all right, we got to get out of time. We're out of time. We got to get out of here. So we decide, you know what? We'll put Joey in the second hour when we have more time for Odessa.
Excellent.
So we got games coming up here. Give me the Arizona Wildcats, like you said. And I told you, Cam, about the football game opening up. It's 14-14 now. You do have
that. Oh, it is. I know. I didn't touch the total. There's no defense.
Give me the Arizona Wildcats. And the over. Arizona Wildcats and the over. It's going to be just like this game. It's going to be a close game, sort of track meet shootout. They're going to go back and forth. I like this. I'm going to go a little bit bigger on it. Give me Arizona plus the points and the over. We got a bunch of college basketball coming up. Your and Doug in the Slugs in Chicago checks in. Says, what about Creighton tonight?
Doug, I love Doug. Hey, let's give Doug some credit. The last time Doug and the Slugs got involved, he said Mizzou against, what was it, Oregon that night? Or I forget who it was, but Mizzou, like, crushed. He made a good pick on that. He likes Creighton. I always love the Blue Jays.
They're laying a ton of points against Nebraska.
Nebraska, you know what? They bowed down. I'll tell you this. They were beating Georgia Tech, and it's like in the 5 minutes in the second half, they just collapsed, and Georgia Tech ended up winning that game by 14 points. Eileen Creighton, but I have a game for you late at night, Morency. A very small favorite that I think gets the job done. That's a later start, yeah, though.
You know, we'll get into the end game here. These games are going to be tipping off. We can get into numbers, but I'm concentrating on football right now. Arizona State and Arizona. Give me Arizona plus the points and give me the over in the game. You know, we have Nevada and San Jose State coming up later in football, but we have a cool basketball game tonight involving Nevada. Nevada has taken on my guys, the Lopes, Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon Antelopes, who got it done for us, of course, Cam. Last time we laid it on down on big game. More picks on the other side.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus T&Cs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.